continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, The Sage's Teachings at Kurukshetra, Text 62. Asmaswa pratikaupeyam.
Asmaswa pratikaupeyam.
Asmaswa pratikaupeyam.
Asmaswa pratikaupeyam.
Yatkritage susattamai.
Yatkritage susattamai.
Yatkritage susattamai.
Yatkritage susattamai.
Maitya pita phala chapi.
Maitya pita phala chapi.
Maitya pita phala chapi.
Maitya pita phala chapi.
Na nivate dakaiche. Asma swa pratikaupeyam.
Asma swa pratikaupeyam.
Yatkritagesu sattamai.
Yatkritagesu sattamai.
Maitriya pita phala chapi.
Maitriya pita phala chapi.
Nani va te takahi che.
Nani va te takahi che.
Asmasu.
Asmasu.
To us.
To us.
A pratikalpa,
a pratikalpa,
incomparable,
incomparable,
iyam,
iyam,
this,
this,
yad,
yad,
since,
since,
kritagesu,
kritagesu,
who are oblivious of the mercy,
who are oblivious of the mercy,
that has been shown them,
that has been shown them,
sattamai,
sattamai,
by those who are most saintly,
by those who are most saintly,
Maitri,
Maitri,
friendship,
friendship.
Habita,
offered,
Afala,
unreciprocated,
Chapi,
even though,
Nani Vateta,
it does not cease,
Kahichi,
ever.
Translation. Indeed, the Supreme Lord must have created the bonds of affection for such exalted saints as you have never stopped showing matchless friendship towards us ingrates, although it has never been properly reciprocated. Next. Prakakalpatjakushalam bratavonacharamahi aduna srimadandaksha napashyama purasata. Previously, dear brother, we did nothing to benefit you because we were unable to. Yet even now that you are present before us, our eyes are so blinded by the intoxication of material good fortune that we continue to ignore you. Purport. While living under the tyranny of Kamsa, Vasudeva was unable to do anything to help Nanda and his subjects defend themselves against the many demons sent from Mathura to kill Krishna and Balaram. Sorry, one more. Maharaja Sri Abut Humsa Shreyas Kamas Yamanada Swajanan Uta Bandun Va Napashati Yayandadri. O most respectful one, may a person who wants the highest benefit in life never gain kingly opulence, for he leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends. Purport. It is, of course, out of his deep humility that Vasudeva is berating himself, but his condemnation of opulence is in general valid. Earlier in this canto, Narada Muni delivered a stinging criticism of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, two wealthy sons of Kuvera, the treasurer of heaven. Intoxicated by both pride and liquor, the two had failed to offer proper respects to Narada when he happened upon them as he spotted naked in the Mandakini River with some young women. Seeing them in their shameful condition, Narada said, Nahenyo Jusato Jostyam Buddhi Brahmso Rajoguna Sri Mada Abhijat Yadir Yatra Sri Dutram Asava. Among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features taking birth in an aristocratic family and being learned. When one is educated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Amma gyana timrandasya gananjana salakaya shakshumalitam yana tasmai shivave namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vesapdale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Picharine Nivise Sasanyavadi Vasachade Shatarine. So here the verse, in the verse 63, intoxication, the Sanskrit word is mada. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said there are the six highway robbers that can steal or rob ones on the path of devotional service. It's karma, krodha, lobha, mada, masarya, moha, which is lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and madness. Think mother, intoxication of madness. So, in the Bhagavatam also, that Queen Kunti has stated, Janmaishwarya Sutta Dripdir. She was saying that these four opulences, very often they are stumbling blocks on the path of one who is advancing Krishna consciousness. One who has beautiful body features, wealth, high education, or born in an aristocratic family. And we often see that sometimes children born in such situation, very often they are devotees. Not all of them, but very often. And it's stated here, intoxication, because when one has so much opulences, one often forgets the what is the goal of life. He becomes too proud. He becomes mad. I was looking up the teaching of Queen Kunti, where Prabhupada was giving the lectures on the prayers of Queen Kunti, where one of these words was described, describing the four opulences. And Prabhupada, practically the whole lecture, he was talking about two points. One point is the intoxication. He said, just like when someone is drinking wine, he becomes intoxicated and he falls into illusion, especially taking wine or drugs. Some of these modern day drugs like ecstasy or whatever they call them. Ice, I think is a big thing in Australia. They start feeling themselves invincible. And sometimes you read in the paper reports how they take the drugs and jump off the roof or jump off from the higher apartment thinking they can fly. So when one is, sometimes when one is infected by so much material opulences, he becomes so puffed up, he falls into delusion. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita describes this as the demonic mentality. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, siddham balavan sukhi. I'm the controller. I'm perfect. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I'm the enjoyer. I'm so strong, I'm so powerful. What do I need God for? I have everything. I have big bank balance. Just I'm. Prabhupada also went gave the example in during the communist time. The communists will tell the when people were suffering from hunger, how they destroyed the faith of people in the religion. The communist officials will come with a truckload and say, "You want bread? Go and pray to your God. Go to the church and pray to your God." And they all come out empty-handed. They said, "Did God give you a break? No break? But you pray to us, you give a break." The truck was a break. So this is demonic mentality. As soon as they have a little opulence, then they forget God. They do not need Him. And sometimes people also, they pray. They pray to God for some material opulences. And once they get it, they forget. They forget about it. And that's the problem of the material consciousness. This illusion, this madness, make them blind. So in verse 64, is the interesting word here uses, opacity. He does not see. This is one of the first teaching of Shukadeva Goswami when he answered the questions of Maharaj Bhrishi, where he said, the one who is attached to the body and the extension of the body in the form of wife, children, bank balances, relatives, all the different facilities that come with it, he becomes blind. And a partiality. They say he sees, but he does not see. Everything is very clear in front of the eyes, but somehow they're blinded by this illusion. They cannot really see it. Sometimes we have this experience when you're looking at something, you're not really focused. Right? Sometimes the friends say, "Why? I thought you saw me." No, you may be looking at someone, but you're not focused on that person. You don't really see in them. So, when one becomes bewildered by all these fallible soldiers, thinking they will give them protection, they become mad. They find this illusion, they don't see. And we have this experience when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we get so excited. And everything makes so much sense, it's everything so logical, and we're very enthusiastic. You go back and tell our best mates, pouring out everything we've heard from the lecture in the temple, what we read in the book, and the guy just, "What are you talking about? You must be mad. You have been brainwashed by those Haris." And this was explaining. Because of material attachment, the madness that's in their mind, they just cannot see. Therefore, throughout the Shastra, the warning is there. The one is on the path of spiritual life. They should not be too much attached to this acquiring of wealth. Let's say that these four, in the purport here, Prabhupada said, out of these four opulences, bewildering, the one that bewilders one's intelligence the most, is the acquiring of wealth, the attraction of riches. Money is the honey, right? So they think with money they can do so many things. With money they can buy a degree, high education, they can buy a degree, they can buy aristocracy. Just like in Malaysia, they have the titles, not different titles, like in England there's Sir this and Sir that, over there that book, different titles. And basically, some of them earn it by community service, but many of them, because they're riches, they just pay money, willing to pay money, they get a title. So then they're born, they're supposed to be an aristocracy, a title. So with money they can get all these things. And with money, they say, "What do I need? I may not be handsome. I have money, I can get all the beautiful women I want." So this wealth is very bewildering. And for one who is on the path of spiritual life, when we become attached to these things, his intelligence becomes bewildered, and he loses the determination to go forward on the path of Krishna consciousness. So therefore this warning is there. We see even in the case of King Indra, sometimes he becomes so much intoxicated by his opulences. He's a king of heaven. Everyone worships him. They perform yajna to please him. And so they get intoxicated by his wealth. I mean, by his opulences. In fact, this one Veda, I think it's Atava Veda, one of the Veda, just full of prayers, glorifying Lord Indra. And you know, when people glorify you and with all the opulences around you, it gets to your head. You know? It's very difficult to remain humble. You start thinking, that's what happened to Pundraka. All his so-called friends around him, yeah, you are the greatest, you are so powerful. In fact, you are Vasudeva, Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, the other one is a fake. And they actually put on two artificial arms to show that it's Vasudeva. And the chakra and everything. He really gets to his head, he starts thinking, actually thinking that he is Vasudeva. Of course, when he met the real Vasudeva, Krishna showed him who the real one is. So, King Indra was also intoxicated by his opulences. So much so that one time, Brihaspati, his spiritual master, came to the court and Indra ignored him. He was sitting there hearing all these dances and music and all the glorification. He was like, yes, 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 yes. And he ignored Brihaspati, his spiritual master. Now when you see the spiritual master, immediately should offer respect, obeisances, and offer him a seat. But he did not. And Brihaspati, understanding the mind of his stomach, just left. They left the court. And Indra came to his senses, could not find him. And because he lost the blessings of his spiritual master, he lost his potency and was defeated by the demons who had the blessings of Sukracharya. Bali Maharaj. He was worshipping the Guru Sukracharya very well. With his blessing, he conquered Indra. And he was also so intoxicated that he dared challenge Krishna. When Krishna stopped the inhabitants of Vrindavan from performing the Indra Puja, Indra was upset. He said, who is this impudent boy, Krishna? Who is this foolish coward man listening to this boy to stop my puja? I'll teach them a lesson. Send the Samataka clouds, pouring rains. And of course, Krishna just, we all heard the story how Krishna lived the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and night and protected the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And then, of course, Indra came to his senses, a quiet place came and offered prayers to Krishna. So, by this then, you see throughout the history in the Shastra how someone become when intoxicated by these opulences, he loses his senses, he loses his good intelligence due to pride. Too much pride. As the saying goes, pride comes before a fall. Pride always comes before a fall. And here the example of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva given. They are the sons of Kuvera, who is the treasure of the demigod, two very wealthy sons. But they were always intoxicated. So much intoxication that they were standing naked in the Mandakini River, surrounded by young girls. And when Narada Muni came along, they were so intoxicated they didn't even notice. The girls at least got up and covered themselves. But these two brothers were like still drinking the wine. Narada Muni took pity on them, cursed them. Invite us to go around naked, curse you become trees. There you can stand naked for a long time. Of course, then after being cursed, then only they come to their senses. And of course, very often the curses of the devotees often turn into blessings because they realize the mistakes, they beg for forgiveness. Narada Muni said, "You take birth as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj." And Krishna, when Krishna appeared, he will deliver you. So that turned into a blessing in disguise. So there are ample stories, examples in the Bhagavatam, the Shastra, warning about the danger of attachment to material opulences. Therefore, material opulences and Krishna consciousness often does not go together. After having said that in the lecture on Queen Kunti, Prabhupada in the end of the lecture, he said, nonetheless, if one has material assets, he said, we have seen all these young boys and girls in America, because of Krishna consciousness, coming to Krishna consciousness, the intelligence become purified, they're using all the material assets in Krishna's service. So many of them have good education, good ability, good intelligence, and they utilize that in, in spreading Krishna consciousness. So I think the lesson here is whether one is becoming intoxicated by this material offense, and by understanding that what it actually is. Because this material world actually is full of offense. It's a creation of Krishna. Krishna has so much offenses. And we see in previous time when the kingdom was ruled by Rajashi, saintly king, there were so much opulences in the kingdom. During the time of Maharaj Prithu, Maharaj Yudhisthira, so much opulences were there that even in the rivers, you do not have to dig deep in the ground to find all these valuable minerals or valuable stones. Just stick your hand into the river, you find all these valuable gems. And the cows, there's so much milk. When they run in the field, the milk is just pouring all over the field. And somehow it's good fertilizer for the field. Everything is growing. You don't have to use tractors and heavy machinery to till the land. Everything was in great abundance when the kingdom was ruled by Rajashi. But because nowadays, there's no Rajashi in sight. Where's the Rajashi? Mother Earth is withholding. There's no yajna to perform. So Mother Earth is withholding. So, opulence is there, but for a devotee, a Krishna conscious person, he's not really attached to these opulences. Like King Priyarata, for example, Maharaj Priyarata. When he asked to be the king, he didn't want to be the king. He didn't want to get married. He was in the ashram of, I think it was Narada Muni? Priyarata? I think it was Narada Muni.
He was meditating on the one of the hills.
Yeah, he was just satisfied, completely satisfied. And his father was going to retire. He needs the son to take over the kingdom. And King Mati had the Lord Brahma came and instructed him. So he went back, got married. The word the king was describing Bhagavatam, that even though he was performing his kingly duties, he was externally seemed to be a hand-packed husband, but internally he was completely detached. He just performed all his duties, all his opulence surrounding as a matter of duty. So it's a matter of how we use, like everything else, it's neither good or bad. It's how you use it. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, normally we try to reject things. We tend to reject things, thinking this is mine. Sometimes people, they join, they give away everything. At home, the stereo, and all the different equipment, and they give away the cars, and temple present, wait a minute. Don't give them away, you can give the temple. You can use in Krishna service, so many things can be used. But we think this is all mine, just give them away. But later on, as one advances, one begins to see how these are all different energies of Krishna, and can be used in Krishna service. So instead of thinking selfish, I do not need it, one can think, can Krishna use it? Often sometimes speak to devotees, they're thinking, yeah, I got opportunity to promotion and this and that, I don't need, you know, at least simple life. But if we ask ourselves, is that selfish? It's thinking me. If we have an opportunity without affecting our Krishna consciousness, why not? It's not that we have a lot of opulence or wealth, we have to figure a way to spend it all. After all, how much can you eat, how much can you spend? You can use it in Krishna service. You have no problem spending all this money. You come one day with a truckload, whole suitcase, Prabhu, I don't know what to do with all this money, you know. There you are. You'll be very happy. So, the point is how to engage everything in Krishna service. Wealth is neither good nor bad. But you want to become intoxicated and is one's Krishna consciousness affected, and it's bad. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, there's nothing good or bad in this world. It is all bad if it's not related to Krishna. It's just a all this good and bad is mental concoction. If it's not related to Krishna, it's all bad. But if it's related to Krishna, then it's all good. Prabhupada would not reject. Prabhupada was everywhere he traveled. He would just find buildings, encouraging the devotees, buying big buildings for temples, building big temples. But for himself, he was very satisfied just living in his heart in Mayapur. In the beginning, it was just a small hut, but he was completely at ease there. So the main point here is the intoxication, how the matures become intoxicated, and that is their fall down. To be intoxicated by all these material opulences. And Prabhupada went on to saying that lecture, he really made a point, basically the whole lecture, about establishing how actual Krishna is the proprietor of everything. He gave the example that if you go to a carpenter and you bring the ingredients to the carpenter to build the furniture, and after building the furniture, the carpenter claims the proprietorship over it. Can you imagine you want to build a house? You spend all the money to the contractor to buy all the different materials for building a house, and after building a house, you say, I'm the owner, I built this house. So similar, bhumi apun nalongayu kamana bhuvyevacha hankara iti yami bina prakriti master. All these material elements, 8 material elements, 5 gross and 3 subtle elements, this is all energy of Krishna. Just because we use this energy of Krishna and created something, doesn't mean we can claim proprietorship over it. You have to understand. Prabhupada often challenges this. They can create this, they can create that. But where is the ingredient that they use to create this come from? They may be so proud of creating so many things and claim, oh, I'm so great. And not giving acknowledgement to Krishna. The proper challenge, where did they get the ingredients from for creating all these things? Why do they not acknowledge that? So we have now said everything comes from Krishna. And when we create something, we give credit to Krishna. We are just custodians of whatever we receive by the mercy of Krishna. We are custodians. And Krishna wants to give, no problem. It's just like, if Krishna wants to give more service, if you're capable, yes, do more service. So if Krishna wants to give more facilities, alright. As long as you maintain the mentality, attitude that I'm the servant of Krishna and I'm just a custodian of all these facilities. I'm the custodian of all these opulences. I'm the custodian of all this wealth. I have to make sure they are properly used in Krishna's service. Then when everything is connected to Krishna, then there's no problem. Unlimited wealth can be created. Unlimited opulences can be created. It's just like earlier on we heard the story of Sudama Brahmana. Krishna gave him so much opulences, but he wasn't affected by those opulences. He was just using those opulences in Krishna's service. So that's fine. So one should neither be detached or attached in that sense. Is the opportunity there? Great! Don't just think, I don't need, so I will not do. Yes, not for ourselves, we may be just satisfied with just some simple living. But what about for Krishna service? So much can But that means when we create all this wealth, we can give. That give away, and especially in our community, Most of us are householders. The renunciation or simple living is, means mainly in the Shastra is brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas. Also the brahmanas. Otherwise, the vaishyas, the kings, the grihasthas, they are encouraged, yes, great wealth, but take care of all the other communities. Create so much wealth. Why do we have to be poor? Krishna is not a poor man. Krishna has unlimited wealth. So he wants to give, like Prabhupada's father used to tell Prabhupada, if Krishna wants to give, how much can you take with your two hands? Krishna has 10 hands. And you want to give, how much can you take with your two hands? And if Krishna wants to take away, how much can you protect with your two hands? So we should be open to receive Krishna's gift, but to make sure we use everything properly in Krishna's service. Then we are capable of using unlimited opulences, unlimited wealth for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. So I just stop here. And any questions or comments?
You were talking about money being a Sura and how they got versus Krishna, but did they have any high credit in the board, or was it only because of the
blessings? Well, the blessings of a pure devotee is more than any pious activities. Because by the mercy of Krishna and the Guru, by the mercy of Guru and the Krishna. So by the mercy of Narada Muni, by Krishna. That is, I always understand that is the shortcut to receive the mercy of Krishna. To get the mercy of Guru, to get the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord. If we just look at how Krishna conscious movement started, most of these boys and girls who came, you look at their, of course they may have good karma before them, we don't know, but materially they really don't have that kind of qualification to do all the things they did. Even one professor was right from the beginning was associated with movement. In one of the interviews with World of Hare Krishna, he was saying that these boys and girls the Prabhupada told them to start back Godhead magazine. So these boys and girls, they have no idea how to produce a magazine. The only thing they have ever done with the magazine is to read one. They have no idea how to produce one, but because of their strong faith in Prabhupada, they just went about and did it. So, but Prabhupada created the good fortune for everyone. We may not be so fortunate, but Prabhupada created that good fortune for us. And that's why you are eternally grateful to Prabhupada. That's it. Yes.
How do you maintain the state of non-attachment to material
world? Well, begin with chanting Hare Krishna, starting association with devotees, and studying. And praying always helps. I find that praying always is very powerful. Always helps. But of course, in the early stage of devotional service, it can be a danger on these opulences. One has to be very, very careful. Yes, though.
Charity, yes.
Giving charity, especially for spiritual causes like Krishna conscious causes, is also an acknowledgement that yes, all this wealth is coming from Krishna. Krishna is so kind, he's giving me this, so I'm using it back in his service. That's why the Christians, they do that. The Christians, they have tithing. 10%. They encourage you to give 10%
to the church or some charity causes. It would be very nice if our communities are doing that too. Make a point, first thing you do when you receive a salary, 10% put aside. Go to the temple, you don't see it, 10%. The Christians are doing that. In some places, they don't voluntarily do it. It's tax. Places like Sweden, for example, they tax, and a lot of people, they don't even know it. It's optional, actually. And you can write in and say, no, I don't want to pay that tax. But if you don't write in, like many people do, they don't know. It's just tax, it's just taken off from the salary and go to the church. How many percent? It's a small percentage. Just 1-2% But imagine, everyone. It's a lot of money. So, you find, by giving away 10%, Krishna rest okay, you get so much more, and then you get so much more, and then you just keep increasing.
Yes,
sir. How should we cultivate that attitude so that we cannot get too much in control of our possession?
In control of?
Of our possession.
I think Prabhupada mentioned that, giving charity. There's one house Buddhism. Of course, nowadays you have five ashrams. Before you have Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, now we have a special ashram called the Bachelor Ashram. Bachelor Ashram is neither Brahmachari nor Grihastha. They do not have the responsibility of Grihastha, but they're living living facility of the Grihastha. They're working, they're single, they're working, they're earning money. So what do you do with that money? Give in charity. There's no shortage. Everyone benefits. Prabhupada actually in one purpose, he said in the preaching acts in one of the say give in charity. For example, if you give in charity to someone not qualified, you may get back same. You give to just different kind of charity you give, you get different returns. He said, but if you give to the pure devotee who has great and Krishna consciousness, the benefit is unlimited. The benefit can come back in material terms, but especially come back in spiritual terms. Which is the real benefit. The spiritual benefit. Even material benefit will come. Krishna is seeing, yeah. He's using it very nice in his service. Give him more. That's a devotee. Krishna gives so much, well, what am I going to do with this? Give back to Krishna. And Krishna says, oh, he's so nice, keep offering me so much. Give it back to him. So he will say, well, give me so much, what am I going to do? Give it back to Krishna. And that's the reciprocation that goes on between the devotee and Krishna. And that's also the loving exchange between devotee and Krishna. Devotee offers the love to Krishna. Krishna offers so much more love to the devotees. And devotees, oh, Krishna is so kind, so merciful. Loving me so much, taking good care of me, let me give myself more to Krishna. And this way, the love between the devotee and Krishna increases and increases. So if we apply this spiritual principle in our life, whether in terms of service, in terms of love, offering of love to Krishna, in terms of offering our possessions, our wealth, whatever, it will only increase. Krishna always reciprocates with his devotees in the most wonderful way. In this way, there's no lack of anything. There will only be great abundance everywhere. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.